Welcome back to Saturday Splash with Lynn and Maddie.
We really need a splash sound.
Yeah, we need a splash sound. Oh, let's get one of those. Yeah, we'll get our friend Angelo. He can do it.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about citizen science. Listen up, citizens. This is science that you can do.
If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Citizen science is amazing. Citizen science is a collection and analysis of data relating to the natural world by members of the general public, typically as a part of a collaborative project with professional scientists.
That sounds really complicated, but it's not complicated.
No. So let's say you love the stream outside of your house and you want to do all you can to protect it and to keep it clean. Where do you start?
How would I do that?
That's so hard. I was recently trained up in a program called Adopt a Stream, which is a really, really cool citizen science program. And it is a volunteer water quality monitoring program. And ADOPT, this is, y'all will love this, it's a fun acronym. So A, awareness, to increase public awareness about water quality. D, data, to collect quality baseline water quality data. Quality water quality data. Huh. Love that.
Yeah, water quality water.
O, observations, so gathering observations about your stream.
What, you need eyes for that?
Eyes, ears, a nose even. One of the
That's true.
One of the observations is the way the river smells.
Yep.
Yeah. P, for partnerships, encouraging partnerships between citizens and local government. And T, tools and training. So providing tools and training so that you, the citizen, can go out and become a citizen scientist.
So it's like adopt a road, only adopt a stream. We're not cleaning up trash this time. Instead, we're monitoring water quality and making sure that we don't have pollutants in our waterways.
That's right. And it's really easy. There's a few different things that you are testing for in adopt a stream. One of those is chemical monitoring, physical and chemical monitoring. So the purpose of that is to gather information about specific water quality characteristics. So you start with basic visual observations and weather information. So you want to see, is it raining? Is it sunny outside? Is my river more full than it usually is? How does the bank look? So you're basically just looking around at the river and taking observations that you can see. That's the start. And then you get into your chemical monitoring. And it's pretty simple. You go to an Adopt-A-Stream training and you become a certified Adopt-A-Stream
scientist.
Participant. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they tell you everything you need to do. And then your local Adopt-A-Stream coordinators have the supplies for you. But you go into the river and you're testing for temperature, which a lot of animals have adapted to live in a very narrow temperature range. So if the temperature of your river is becoming too hot or too cold, the organisms living in it may not be able to quickly adapt. So that's something to note about the river. You test for dissolved oxygen. So the aquatic animals, they breathe oxygen just like we do, although they breathe it from the air. They breathe it from the water. We breathe it from the air.
Just think fish gills, like that.
Yeah. So that's called dissolved oxygen. And you can get oxygen coming in from the atmosphere, from photosynthetic aquatic plants. So oxygen is a byproduct of photosynthesis. So when plants are making their own food, they take in carbon dioxide, they put out oxygen. So you test for oxygen because, again, animals need oxygen to breathe. So you want to make sure that there is enough oxygen. And this is kind of cool. Temperature and oxygen levels are directly related. So the higher your water temperature is, the lower amount of oxygen you have, and vice versa. So if you have a nice cold stream, maybe we're up at Table Rock in the north part of the state, nice cold water, you're going to have high levels of oxygen, which means you're going to have a lot more macroinvertebrate life. And we'll talk about macros in just a few minutes. Anyway, you also test for pH, which is how acidic or basic the water is. You look for conductivity, which is the water's ability to conduct electricity.
So do you just stick a plug in that and plug it into something, and then you see if, you know, somebody gets a shock from it?
There's all sorts of really fancy cool tools. Yeah. You know, you just kind of stick it in the water and it says your conductivity is X. It's cool. And then if you are down at the coast, you check for clarity and salinity. So how clear your water is and how salty your water is. And if you're in a lake, you also test for clarity. You don't really do clarity in the river because the river's pretty shallow. You can pretty much generally see to the bottom or close to it.
Yeah, you would notice that would be in a, that would be one of your physical observations. If the river was really cloudy, you would be able to say that there.
Yeah. So those are your chemical. Those are the kind of ones you can look at a nice clear river and you might think it's nice and clean and healthy and unpolluted. But the way that you can really tell this is really cool. Just picture this. You get you. Let's say again we're up at Table Rock and you look down into the river. What do you see?
My feet.
You might see your feet. You may see little fish swimming by. You might see little crayfish. You know, is you think that's all that lives in the water there?
I had thought so until I did this.
This is amazing, you guys. It's called macroinvertebrate sampling. So macro meaning large enough to see with the naked eye, as opposed to micro where you would need a microscope to see it. And invertebrate is anything without a backbone. So about 97% of life on Earth is invertebrate life, or animal life anyway, is invertebrate life, which that's most of it. That's a lot of it. So invertebrates are dominant here. So anyway, a macroinvertebrate is just an invertebrate that you can see with the naked eye. These things are all over the streams. They're so cool. This is called your biological monitoring. This is another piece of the adopt-a-stream model. And scientists all over the world use this. So you go into your habitat, your river, and you sample for these macroinvertebrates. And these guys are going to live under rocks, in the soil. So basically you turn up rocks and you scrape all the rocks and you kick up the soil and you're taking a sample. You're trying to find what's in the water. So you do that, you kick it all up into a net, and the net is collecting.
And it's like a canvas
kicking
net.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool. And this is a great way. You go into the river, you get wet. I only ever imagined fish in the river. I didn't really think of anything other than fish. But we did this macroinvertebrate sampling at the Reedy River to test for these things. You can't believe what we came up with. I was astonished to see a crayfish down there.
It's amazing.
I thought they were like New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, crayfish are the easy ones. You can pretty much look in a river, see that. As long as you grab it right behind the head, you can pull it out of the water. They won't pinch you.
Yeah, I don't advise grabbing them by their pinchers.
Yeah. But the rest of them, you would have no idea. So you kick around and you kind of mess up their habitat. And luckily, there have been studies. Once you kind of mess up the habitat like that, it'll recolonize within just a couple of days. So you're not really doing permanent damage to the ecosystem in any way. But you pull this net up. Oh, my goodness. The amount of different species. You'd have no idea that they were all down there. And there's a few different categories of species, and that's how you can tell the health of your stream. So you have pollution-sensitive species, and these are only found in clean water because they are very sensitive to pollution. So if you have excess nutrients, if you have pesticides, or any kind of pollution in the water, they're not going to be found. These are things like caddisflies, mayflies, stoneflies, and it's all the larvae. So all of these critters spend the majority of their life in a larval or nymph stage. So the juvenile stage, they live in the water. And then once they're ready to come out of the water and reproduce, they pretty much only spend about, 2 or 3 days. They make their babies. They die. The circle of life.
Again, with the dying animals.
I know. Anyway, those are the pollution-sensitive animals. Then you come down into the next category. They're somewhat tolerant, so they can live in a kind of clean stream. These are things like dragonflies, damselflies, critters like those. And then you've got your pollution-tolerant species. These can pretty much live anywhere. These are like leeches, worms, a lot of snails. So when you're doing your macroinvertebrate sampling, you kick all the, you kick it up, you pull up your net, and the more diversity you have, so the more different kinds of animals you have, the cleaner your stream is. So you can tell just by the animals that live in the water how clean the stream is. And it is amazing. There are just dozens of different kinds of organisms that live just down in the sediments, down in the rocks.
And really, for kids, a really great book to teach them about this is called, it's called Lorelei the Mayfly. And it's the story of Lorelei, who is a mayfly and lives in the river, and all of her friends. And we'll have a link to where you can get that book on our website. So if you are interested, take a look.
It's so cool.
She's so cute. Lorelei is adorable. And it's really, really great for kids. It'll get kids very interested in learning about their surroundings.
Yes. So that's my favorite part of the Adopt-A-Stream is doing the macro sampling. And then the last part of it is bacterial sampling. So you basically take a sample of the water, you put it on these special little pads, you incubate them for 24 hours, and then you can see if bacteria is growing. Specifically, they're testing for E. coli bacteria. So you can see how many colonies of bacteria are growing, and you... Again, that's a way to tell how healthy your ecosystem is.
And we'll talk about E. coli at a future date because the Reedy River, a little bit of a problem with that.
We can talk all about E. coli. I'm just a little teaser. Don't swim in the river or don't drink the water. Don't let your dog drink the water either.
Yeah, don't let your dog drink the water. Don't let your dog swim in the water and get it up their nose. Oh, that's terrible. No.
Anyway, we've got lots of citizen science programs that you can get involved in with little to no scientific knowledge. One that we love here is called Frog Watch in Greenville. You get trained up in different frog calls and you go out and you figure out what frogs are in your area. This is run through the Greenville Zoo, and we will do a later segment all about Frog Watch. But if you're interested in citizen science, Google is your friend. There's lots of opportunities to get involved.
And we're happy to talk to anyone. So if you want the links or the information, give us a shout and we'll get it to you. Again, we have a website, SaturdaySplash.com.